hello, everyone. This is Dark Journalist, and tonight we're going to do something very special. We're going to continue to go deep into the Nixon time capsule story, and we'll do it through the figure of Robert Merritt, who was his secret agent at the time working for the Houston Plan and doing a number of undercover and black budget jobs for the president. Merritt originally came forward to me in 2018 with his dramatic story of Nixon placing a time capsule in the White House. And this takes us into a whole interesting field of endeavor, including what was going on with the UFO file at that point and how that stretches out to what we're looking at now. Because the original plan with what Nixon was doing with disclosure actually started, now it was going to be for the bicentennial in 1976. Now, 1976 is a very key year because it's the bicentennial of the United States, and that includes 200 years where Nixon was going to come out and say, well, you know, because of this bicentennial and because I have this alternative energy formula that we've been developing on crashed UFO technology over at Pine Gap, now I'm going to run for a third term, unprecedented since they had removed that option under the presidency of Harry Truman. But Nixon was determined, and this is how it was going to play out. It was all unraveled, according to Merritt, by the Watergate disaster. And it makes you wonder a little bit about the influence of the UFO file in relation to the Watergate affair. But going even deeper now, we're looking at Merritt coming forward at 2018, originally giving me the story. And we played out some of that in public, of course. The time capsule story was out there. People didn't know many of the details on it, and many of the details on it were suppressed at the time. In fact, there were other aspects of the story I was not able to bring forward because of the position of Robert Merritt at that time, including the fact that after we had done this amazing story, his whole house got broken into and all of his files ransacked. And so we're in a very tenuous position at the time. I've gone through over 7 hours of conversations recorded with Robert Merritt. And of course, we had many other conversations as well. The general thrust of what he was trying to tell us had to do with these three meetings beneath the White House with President Nixon, all about how he was saving a message for UFO disclosure for the American people. Now, the Nixon time capsule is one of those stories that is absolutely fascinating because of the heft or the background of someone like Robert Merritt, who, after all, had been a part of the Watergate lore from the very beginning, but had worked undercover and for everything from the MPD to CIA to the FBI and other groups who had used him since he had come down from West Virginia, and they had identified him through a number of unusual things, including the fact that he lived next door to a Soviet attaché, and that caught their interest right off the bat. And he claimed that wasn't just a random thing, but because intelligence got involved with him, they decided to say, well, you know, maybe you can work for us. And this is how it all worked out. Oddly enough, he was very close friends with Carl Schauffler of Watergate fame, who was the arresting officer, and claimed that Schauffler actually worked for the CIA. And wasn't just working there for the police department, that was a cover job. Schauffler figures into this heavily as well. And at a certain point, Schauffler was actually living with Merritt there in D.C. So Merritt was in the warp and woof of the story of Watergate and Nixon and all the things that had gone wrong for Nixon. Later, the thing that I extrapolated was that President Trump had a very close relationship with President Nixon. Now, as I've stated before, when this came out, this is the kind of thing that, you know, required a lot of background research and a lot of contacts. And people literally, you know, in the traditional media said, no way, you know, they had one letter and that's it. Of course, eventually the Nixon library put out the fact that they, in fact, did have a very close relationship. And I discovered that Trump had actually got Nixon in office in New York City in the 1980s, and they spent all this time together. And that they had spent many hours together in conversation as well at fundraisers and other places. So there are a lot of opportunities there for sharing secrets. And of course, the famous prediction by President Nixon that Donald Trump, then citizen Donald Trump, would one day become president. So what does this all tell us? What are we starting to look at here? Now, Merritt, as an undercover operative, is telling us that Nixon had plans to disclose the UFO file and an energy system and run for a third term in 1976. But those plans got unraveled, and that the backup plan was to save this for posterity, including leaving a time capsule message right there in the White House. Now, Merritt had told me where, in fact, this was placed, and he told only a couple of individuals about this. According to him, this is where he said it was originally, inside the wall, right in the library there at the White House. Now, interestingly enough, later on, he had said that his contacts had told him that after our interview came out, that a number of intelligence groups had gone into the White House when the president was away and checked through those walls with thermographic equipment. Now, there's one lead of those stories where Merritt was saying, well, they took it away from Trump, or that Trump retained it, or that neither side found it. So there were too many stories there. But the original story of the time capsule, for sure, held up incredibly strong. The others, I didn't know quite what to make of the info and the intel he was getting so many years later. It's quite possible that, in fact, it was retrieved. My guess is it's still there, and his original guess was that it was still there before these secondary figures started popping up and giving him information behind the scenes. So Merritt's a very interesting whistleblower. He's got the real background. You know, I spoke with James Rothstein, who was an NYPD detective, and he told me that Merritt had worked as a CI, and that, in fact, Merritt had worked on a number of cases involving human trafficking. It was an excellent source, and it was human trafficking at the UN. So over and over again, there is this very dependable background. You know, a lot of people will vouch for Robert Merritt, and a lot of those Watergate historians, they know of him. He's featured in the Jim Hogan famous book from the 1980s about Watergate. So throughout that whole stretch, he's in there. He's deep in that history. So we've got that and what he's trying to tell us. I can tell you another thing from my conversations with Merritt, is that he was not particularly interested in the topic of UFOs. Quite interesting, as it were. Just in his role as someone to vouchsafe this for President Nixon and to be a messenger and to bring that message, one of the messages he was to bring relating to this was to Henry Kissinger at the time. This is how Nixon was safeguarding himself. Now, it seems to me to have real UFO disclosure, you have to have the story of the Nixon time capsule. And we've been talking a lot about how the kind of flimsy version that we're getting of disclosure as it comes around through these tranche of documents and, you know, whistleblower releases and all the rest. As it stands, I can't say that I have a whole lot of faith in what they're putting out. And I don't think that there's a lot of meat in the bones. Famously, Representative Luna said, that's all the meat and potatoes that we have. And my comment for that is, well, if that's the meat and potatoes, then we're all going to starve searching for disclosure because there's nothing in there that is unusually compelling. There are some interesting stories. Some of it has already been released, in fact. And there are suggestions that in the early days that when they were looking at this, they were suggesting, well, perhaps, you know, the Nazis were involved and things of this nature. I think they came to other conclusions later, in fact. So, you know, these are the types of things that kind of wheeled through the images that they released. But of course, there's been a censorship plan in place from the beginning, and the group running the censorship plan is the X-Protect group. I mean, we have to be very clear about that. The other thing that I want to put across in relation to this is that is in long, long running, at least 80 years of the wall of secrecy involved here. Using occult means as well for that level of secrecy, and also involving, you know, groups like the Masons, etc., and their bond of secrecy in order to keep these UFO secrets. Not to say that Masons are involved with UFO secrecy as much as the methods for their how they keep secrets about, you know, the different ways and means that the Masons have of identifying members in their brotherhood, etc. All that was rolled into the secrecy around the UFO file. And one of the kind of key aspects in all this, in my opinion, is when you look at what the U.S. Geological Survey had put up, this incredible one-ton slab of granite at the USGS in Reston, Virginia, with the name Richard Nixon on it. No ceremony, nothing. But it's right in the timeline identified right after Watergate that Robert Merritt is saying the third meeting took place beneath the White House where Nixon was saying, I'm placing my knowledge of the UFO file in a time capsule. Now, one of the things I did recently is talk about the Nixon time capsule on the Alex Jones Show. And of course, Alex has been creating amazing content relating to UFO disclosure. And really, of course, coming out with a very cutting edge voice around all of this. And I'm very thankful because he's getting a lot of the core message across. One of the things I want to say is that I put together some clips from that appearance. That'll set up the next stage of what we're looking at here, going deep now on Nixon's time capsule, Tesla technology, and President Trump. How does it all relate? How do those three things come together? I'm going to show you. Let's watch these clips first, and then we'll open up to the Nixon time capsule, Robert Merritt, and President Nixon. That was the fourth UFO file release. And, you know, Luna said, well, that's the meat and potatoes. And she's in charge of the D-class committee and all that. Well, if that's the meat and potatoes, everyone's going to starve to death because there wasn't very much in there.
You have Spielberg with Close Encounters of the Third Kind in the late 70s, where it's all about psychic. They're all called there. Even though the government doesn't want them there, they make it there. And it's all about we're connected to you, you're connected to us. His new movie is all about that. And so they're trying to unify the field theory with the interdimensionals, and there's obviously some psychic connection with the aliens, with UFOs and blur the lines. Or am I wrong in saying there seems to be an attempt to blur the lines?
Well, there's no question. I mean, how coordinated can you get? First of all, as we're doing the actual UFO disclosures, then we have all the movies come out on cue. And, you know, we have the whistleblowers under Chris Mellon, the DOD billionaire's control, going out and, you know, doing these events on the Capitol steps and everything right as the movie's coming out. It's absurd. So obviously it's a coordinated effort. The question is what's behind it. And I think in the case of Spielberg, you know, someone like that, even in those elite circles, he probably thinks he's bringing forward genuine UFO disclosure and the culture needs this and all the rest of it. And remember, these guys have been lying from it from the start. Whatever the phenomena is, they're going to lie about it, right? So if anything, you need a citizen investigatory body that reflects itself in Congress and completely denies the influence of the intelligence groups. By the way, it's the DOD billionaire who's controlling the whistleblowers that's releasing all the videos. He's the one they consult. That's why you're getting very lame kind of crap UFO videos from the Trump administration releases and things we've seen before, because they're all censored videos and they could really be something else. I mean, where's the really good color video of a crisp UFO, you know, that's undeniable? What you have with Spielberg is a long history of being in the know. When he presented E.T. the movie, for example, he did it at the White House, and President Reagan came around afterwards and said, everyone in this room knows that that is fact and not fiction. So, you know, Reagan was in the know. He understood there was another group going on here. And he also was deep, deep in the UFO file. And they had portrayed it to him on the CIA level that it was a threat. So you have a number of these appearances of Reagan saying, what if there are an alien threat? What would happen? And Gorbachev came out in 2009, famously, and talked to Charlie Rose and said, yeah, you know, Reagan took me aside at Reykjavik. Everyone thought that summit was a failure. But in fact, he put his arm around me and said, we have a UFO threat. Will you fight it with us? I mean, that's on the record now. So the Russian premier and the United States president talked about a UFO threat. So there's no question that they were dealing with that on a strategic level. If you go back and you really penetrate that history, you see that Gorbachev and others were trying to prevent a nuclear exchange over the UFO file. And Kennedy originally had tried to do this himself with Khrushchev. He had said to his own intelligence agencies, release now our most high threat cases and what they look like, what the craft look like to the Russians. I want to share our UFO file with them. This is where Kennedy gets into major trouble. There were all these problems they had with Kennedy anyway, but his interest in the UFO file and his background in the UFO file, that's the ultimate thing. That's the ultimate card. And as a matter of fact, the Watergate attorney, Douglas Caddy, said that when he was speaking to his friend and, you know, basically, somebody who had a close family friend who'd been the top of the CIA, Howard Hunt. Hunt took him aside before he went to prison and said Kennedy was assassinated over the UFO file. This thing is a long, long history. A number of officials have come out and said, oh, yeah, Kennedy was doing all this stuff around the UFO file. We couldn't talk about it back then. Well, you can talk about it now, and they better talk about it soon, because the type of mealy-mouthed UFO congressional hearings that they've had aren't doing anything. They aren't moving the needle at all. As a matter of fact, they're moving us into a position of a bullseye with this whole UFO threat piece being hoisted upon us. You got one.
All right, Daniel Liss, author, filmmaker, you name it, one of the leading experts on UAPs, UFOs, disclosure, the real facts, the history, Protect X, the dark group that goes around killing people and suppressing things. There's another good group, and we're seeing a civil war with all that right now. I want to get his take on the latest tranche released a few weeks ago, declassifications, a little bit more juicy than what we saw, but overall, I would say much of the so-called disclosures are nothing burger, years in the making. So they're trying to launch like a new religion and saying this discredits not other religions, not Hinduism or Islam, but it discredits Christianity. So that from Hollywood. But as usual, List has the story behind the story, the news behind the news, and how it ties into Richard Nixon and so much more. So Daniel List at Dark Journalist on X. Everybody should follow you there. Where would you like to start? It's been over a month since you've been on. You're gracious to join us here today.
Well, it's fantastic to see you, Alex. And the new set looks fantastic as well. I just want to say.
This is just better and better. This is the interim backup, but the crew's doing a great job, and we're covering the news.
That's great. Well, I'll tell you one of the amazing things that's been going on is that was the fourth UFO file release. And, you know, Luna said, well, that's the meat and potatoes. And she's in charge of the D-class committee and all that. Well, if that's the meat and potatoes, everyone's going to starve to death because there wasn't very much in there. What is important, I think, are the stories around these releases, which is the missing scientist story we've gone deep on, and some of the unusual background to the story about Trump and his relationship with the UFO file. I think it's coming into play more and more. And there's a deep story back there with an agent of the Houston plan that I spoke to, and his name was Robert Merritt. And he claimed that Nixon left a time capsule in the White House relating to UFO disclosure. Now, Merritt had a long background. He came all the way through Watergate. He was a CI. He worked for the FBI. He was an informant, and he was a special henchman doing little jobs in the background there for President Nixon as part of the Houston plan, which was so illegal and so outside of the bounds of regular intelligence work that even J. Edgar Hoover and the CIA were like, you know, you can't have the Houston plan going around out there doing the bidding of Nixon. And they were jealous of it as well. There was a UFO component to Merritt's testimony. And what I found in going back into the history of President Nixon is he was very deeply involved in the UFO file from the time he was VP to Eisenhower and all through his own presidency.
And let's go back for people that don't know, and I'm showing the Washington Post about this. Richard Nixon set in stone, explain what this time capsule is. That's fascinating. Take your time here.
Yeah, this is fascinating. What we have now is the U.S. Geological Survey. And in 1972, Nixon placed a time capsule there, and it's in Reston, Virginia. And USGS is very unusual because they're connected with the Cosmos Club, which has a big, it's like the UFO Bilderberg. So the fact that they put the, you know, this major one-ton granite slab there as a time capsule for Nixon has always been a strange piece, and no one really knew what to make of it, and there was no ceremony unveiling it. In that same corridor of time, Watergate had unraveled and all the rest of it, and Merritt went and met and had his final meeting with Nixon in the White House. And Nixon said, I'm putting this letter away in the White House, and I'm saving it in a time capsule. So he wanted it, you know, for future generations to get his work on the UFO file. And a lot of these presidents did that through a lot of these stealth letters that are left behind. There's an LBJ X letter that's never been opened, for example, at the LBJ Library there in Texas. And we know Reagan and the other presidents have done this. So this is kind of the creme de la creme at the end when they release the UFO file. You can see the action of all these presidents in the background operating under the secrecy. The problem has been that the presidents have gotten outside of the bounds of the true UFO file. And so the intelligence agencies and a group called X-Protect has been running it in the meantime and really basically blackmailing the bureaucrats that are involved around the secrecy. So you have this unusual structure going on in the background. We know about the deep state. We've heard about the breakaway civilization. The X-Protect group operates right in that shadowy corridor between the intelligence agencies and the aerospace companies. But Nixon was in the heart of it. And the stories that I got from Merritt, who's now deceased, he's passed away, and I'm letting his information out. He did some information public with me, and some of this other information has been behind the scenes. But he said that Nixon had left this time capsule in the White House, which was just a letter which had information relating to the deep aspect of the UFO file and the formulas that they had obtained And this involved energy, quantum mechanics, and other things that gave them what they called, you know, they said Star Trek was backdated with what they had discovered here. So that deep relationship between Trump and Nixon now comes into play, because we worked on that. And we brought that story out and everyone said, yeah, there's one letter between them, big deal. And we were like, no. You know, and I had found out that Trump had set up Nixon with offices literally there in New York City, in Manhattan, for him to go there, set him up with apartments and all the rest of it. And they had become very close. Finally, the Nixon Foundation released the fact that they had put out 300 different personal letters between the two, going all the way from 1975 to 1994, the death of President Nixon. So what we have there is a deep relationship. And it, of course, we have this with Trump, with his, through his own uncle, through Uncle John Trump and his work with Vannevar Bush, deep in the heart of the UFO file. Vannevar Bush ran the UFO file and his protege was John Trump. If we go all the way back to wartime and we get to 1943, now we have John Trump being sent in by Vannevar Bush to review Nikola Tesla's papers. So this trail of Trump involved with advanced technology in the UFO file is written there in history. Once you bring it forward, you can't unsee it, as it were. And the question is, you know, does that make Trump some magic time lord from the future, whatever? No, it puts him in charge of very specific information, and it puts him in the know, which a lot of the presidents have desired to be in the know. And Trump is in the know. The problem is with the UFO releases that they're doing, and there's a clumsy aspect here with, you know, Dr. Phil disclosure and putting Dr. Phil in charge of disclosure, and these CIA guys who are like, hey, I'm going to be the next UFO czar and all the rest of it. That's where Trump is sort of going off the rails with this. But he has done some very interesting things, including Space Force and the Golden Dome. And those are attempts to pull that UFO file, the most secret, the top secret inside the United States government, back under executive control, where it has not resided since 1958. You're talking about, you know, almost 70 years of history there where, forget it, the president is out of the loop.
And wasn't Space Force his first administration, and now that's also part of that?
It is. Yeah, Space Force was a major attempt to do that. I think that he has a lot more clout coming in this time. And I think part of the problem that we've seen with people like Isaacman originally, you know, now he's in there and he's solid. He's the director of NASA. And now NASA can talk about UFOs. You see how this works. And this has changed. He practically changed his tune overnight. That's good. The problem is what we're getting with some of the deeper agencies is this weird kind of schizophrenic thing where, you know, you have some people coming out who are major figures like J.D. Vance and others saying, well, UFOs are demons and, you know, let's talk about it from a demonic level, which is fine if you want to believe that. There's no problem with that. However, as far as a vice presidential statement, you know, and as far as a government statement on UFOs, it's absurd. What you're looking at is a phenomena of technology that is moving far beyond what we see. So that either means that we're out of the loop or we have a cosmic neighbor, right? It's one of the two. And if we're out of the loop, that means it's a second group here operating with the advanced technology. That's why the stories around the missing scientists get into weird loops. You know, we had this very unusual story of that FEMA official who said, you know, he was like, oh, I was teleported to a Waffle House in Georgia. He was totally serious, Greg Phillips. And he said, you know, I was having a great time with my friends there in Rome, Georgia, and boom, I got teleported 13 miles away. He got booted out of his position and everything else. But this is a sitting official of the Trump administration. What was he trying to convey?
Daniel, let's elaborate. I don't mean to interrupt, but just so we don't forget. We have the chief science czar a year and a half ago, right when Trump gets in, saying we now control time and space. We have secret technology for energy and weapons. And we see more and more real evidence of that. And I don't like being used for disinformation, and it's not my fault, but this, people take what you've said and take it out of context. I said on Rogan like 10 years ago, and before that, I said there's real extraterrestrials and there's advanced human technology. And I explained, because we have all the ancients and the same images and the same reports by, you know, groups 5,000, 6,000, 3,000 years ago, different continents reporting the same thing. Literally what you see in the first books of the Bible, you know, is mirrored by even, you know, older civilizations. And so people take DMT, it lifts the veil interdimensionally because the optic nerve blocks out most of what it's picking up. They've been able with sensors, you know, to add chips in the brain and things where it can, you know, pick up all the other light spectrum, radiation, you name it. Well, your brain's picking that all up. So we have a filter. So there is interdimensional, which people think, you know, historically, you know, ghosts, demons, all that type of stuff. That's the occult. That's the conjuring. That's those things that are on top of us, beside us in this dimension. Then you've got the extraterrestrials. And as I said, you've got advanced human technology that's trying to reverse engineer it. That is my view. Now I've seen a lot of these known disinfo operatives that put out a lot of stuff mix it together and say, no, that's the aliens, which we need to be very, very clear that this is specifically something different. But the establishment, and I broke this on Rogan 10 years ago, a year later they declassified, that at San Francisco, they're at the Psychic Research Institute with the universities, and out in Japan, other places, they have the DMT drips. They liken them to like astronauts, where they go in for longer, map out what's going on, communicating with these entities. They have certified studies with groups of people, and they want us to believe that the extraterrestrials are violent to build a military response to that. Is that an accurate, that's my view. Do you think that worldview is accurate or wrong?
That's an incredible overview, in fact. And I remember that Rogan discussion, and it was off the charts. At the time, when you were mentioning the breakaway civilization there. And, it's amazing because Rogan had a number of alien UFO people come in and give him, the basic line about UFOs and encounters, and they were all military and CIA people, so they didn't really go deep. In fact, your conversation with him went the deepest. That's what you really want to start with. And the consciousness factor is absolutely crucial. And this is where people get into trouble on this as well, and I'm glad you're pointing it out, because when we have these types of experiences that would qualify as psychic experiences, this is what the mystery schools were teaching everyone about, that if you get to a certain level, you can actually see things that you can't see with your ordinary, with the regular untrained eye when it comes to these types of things. So it is a totally different class of things. But when you get a case, like even a classic case of Betty and Barney Hill driving down the highway in New Hampshire and getting grabbed and getting examined and then being traumatized, and Barney Hill, dies just a few years later. He never goes back to work. So he's obviously been through something that, has physical aspects to it directly, and they're dealing with craft. I remember the conversations and the things about Gordon Cooper. He said when he was training in the 1950s, before he went into space, he was doing all these trainings in Germany, and he would get up there and they would do all these maneuvers. And then these UFOs would show up and start doing the exact same maneuvers, but better, and then take off, just disappear. So obviously that technological factor, whatever intelligence is operating there, and Cooper concluded it was an extraterrestrial presence. We don't know if it was an ultra-terrestrial presence, something here, which is advanced beyond us. But that's a factor, for example, on the national security state side, where they looked at it and said, this is the thing we're going to keep the biggest secret around, because it literally defies time and space. When people encounter it, their time and space disappears. You have all those missing time claims and all the rest.
I don't want to go back to that, but let's go back for a moment. This is so important. You have Spielberg with Close Encounters of the Third Kind in the late 70s, where it's all about psychic. They're all called there. Even though the government doesn't want them there, they make it there. And it's all about, we're connected to you, you're connected to us. His new movie is all about that. And so they're trying to unify the field theory with the interdimensionals, and there's obviously some psychic connection with the aliens, with UFOs, and blur the lines. Or am I wrong in saying there seems to be an attempt to blur the lines?
Well, there's no question. I mean, how coordinated can you get? First of all, as we're doing the actual UFO disclosures, then we have all the movies come out on cue. And, we have the whistleblowers under Chris Mellon, the DOD billionaire's control, going out and, doing these events on the Capitol steps and everything right as the movie's coming out. It's absurd. So obviously it's a coordinated effort. The question is, what's behind it? And I think in the case of Spielberg, someone like that, even in those elite circles, he probably thinks he's bringing forward genuine UFO disclosure and the culture needs this and all the rest of it. But he very specifically, as you pointed out, said, Christianity is going to be challenged by these things. He didn't say the Muslim faith, or he didn't say Judaism. He said Christianity. That's weird. So it shows that they know that their biggest obstacle when it gets to this is, around the UFO file and aliens are Christians. And what they've done is they've underestimated the Christian mindset, in my opinion, because one of the things that we're looking at is, they are now trying to feed this thing about demons. And you can, again, when you get into demonology and all these types of things, you're getting into a deep science, right? You're getting into a deep history of religion. But if you start taking anything that you want to portray as a UFO threat or whatever and labeling it demons, Then you're doing this whole thing where you're saying, well, you know, we spent all this money, we disappeared all this money out the back, you know, $20 trillion is missing from the budget, but we did it because we were fighting demons in space. And if you go back to some of that initial disclosure in 2017, that's what they were trying to do. They were saying, well, the CIA is heroes. They're fighting demons in space. I kid you not. This was their line originally, and they've tried to modify it. And remember, these guys have been lying from it from the start. Whatever the phenomena is, they're going to lie about it, right? So if anything, you need a citizen investigatory body that reflects itself in Congress and completely denies the influence of the intelligence groups. By the way, it's the DOD billionaire who's controlling the whistleblowers that's releasing all the videos. He's the one they consult. That's why you're getting very lame kind of crap UFO videos from the Trump administration releases and things we've seen before, because they're all censored videos and they could really be something else. I mean, where's the really good color video of a crisp UFO, you know, that's undeniable? Here's the thing that's going on, I think, behind the scenes is they were thinking, oh, we'll release this, we'll release the UFO technology, and that will justify the threat and the Golden Dome and all the rest of it. Well, they've decided now, they're starting to float these trial balloons saying, no, we want to talk about biologics and we want to get away from the technology question. This is very interesting. It's just started in June that they've started to pull
this. And again, they blur the line about human-animal hybrids that they've created, which is alien. It's never existed. Or synthetic stuff they've created that's never been here. That just means never existed before. But they're also blurring the lines with that.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that they think they're at a position, cloning-wise and otherwise, that they can produce a being that they can say, look, it's an alien. And it's a dead alien or whatever it happens to be. Now, they may have these things directly in the vaults there. There's no question about that. But they can create the false version. And we're talking about them.
Well, let's be clear. 50 years ago, they could grow a human ear on the back of a mouse. So they can cosmetically create a humanoid that looks like whatever they want.
Exactly. And this is the problem. But see, it's the caricature, and they're famous for the caricature. They feed you the thing that you want to see, right? Oh, if you want to see an alien, this is what we're going to show you. But they're not showing the technology. They've decided they're pulling back from that thing that they were going to do originally because they've said, well, maybe these other countries like Russia aren't quite where we are with it. And if we let it out there, you know, not only are we going to explode the idea of industry around this, but the other countries may have caught up with us.
So what you're saying is this round of disclosure, highly coordinated for the last 5 years, culminating in June around disclosure film coming out, was a beta test or a trial balloon to test the waters.
Yes, exactly. And I'll tell you this about Day of Disclosure and that whole piece. If we look at it, the Central Intelligence Agency, people like Clapper and all the rest, they've been involved with Spielberg. They were doing the whole Age of Disclosure documentary that came out.
Stay there. I want to hear you. Let's get into this. Disclosure Day and the CIA, obviously, but he's got the details. What are they trying to do? That's key to understanding what's coming next. You're getting real disclosure here. We'll be right back.
They're trying to put their narrative out there. The narrative is crucial because psychologically, that's how we'll accept the whole thing one way or another. The narrative has to be perfect. They've tried to build up the narrative to be, well, there's a UFO threat out there. They haven't really worked on, the alien God thing is something they have in their back pocket. And there are certain tech bro billionaires that are interested in this. But what's going on the intelligence level is they're in love with the UFO threat idea because they're in love with the idea of emergency powers. And they've buttoned the system down that they can order emergency powers. And one thing I think you've taught the audience and just the public in general over these years of doing the show is that you can't wait until you're in the emergency situation. You can't wait till you're in the soup. You have to get ahead of that curve. Just like when COVID showed up, it was too late. They were already doing the things. There were already lockdowns, you know, social distancing, put your mask on. And there was all that social conditioning that was happening. If you do this, if you look at the UFO file, that's going to make the COVID operation look like a walk in the park because you're introducing the idea of another species. You're introducing the whole idea of a threat. And then you have all these intelligence agencies probing the psychology of the American public and the global public about how they can pull this off and how much of a foundation they have. And they have the best filmmakers, you know, people like Spielberg and others. In earlier times, you know, they tried to use kind of the best directors that they had then. That's where you got Kubrick and 2001 and all that. They were trying to lay a foundation. There's no question about it. So the question is, how far along, you know, what is it we can do to blow the whistle on this situation now? And it's to get rid of this phony version of disclosure that they're doing and go and have a congressional hearing, for example, over the missing scientists. The missing scientists were dealing with the UFO file. The top general who was involved with it, Neil McCasland, he was a major general. He disappeared in a flash. He's gone. He was in charge of the UFO file. That's a national security crisis. They've blown it off. I mean, we brought the story to a fever pitch. We presented it to the White House. We literally got it up to the point where the White House was commenting on it. And, you know, we broke the story back here in December because of Nuno Lorero, who was an MIT professor, and he was dealing with neutron star mergers. Well, that's the recreation in a lab of a black hole. So, you know, he's
stepping on toes. And some of these are professional, obviously. Some of these are professional hits. But I interrupted you with the break. We had to take that hard break. You were getting into the CIA and connections to Spielberg and his new movie.
No question. Well, what you have with Spielberg is a long history of being in the know. When he presented E.T., the movie, for example, he did it at the White House, and President Reagan came around afterwards and said, everyone in this room knows that that is fact and not fiction. So, you know, Reagan was in the know. He understood there was another group going on here, and he also was deep, deep in the UFO file, and they had portrayed it to him on the CIA level that it was a threat. So you have a number of these appearances of Reagan saying, what if there are an alien threat? What would happen? And Gorbachev came out in 2009, famously, and talked to Charlie Rose and said, yeah, you know, Reagan took me aside at Reykjavik. Everyone thought that summit was a failure. But in fact, he put his arm around me and said, we have a UFO threat. Will you fight it with us? I mean, that's on the record now. So the Russian premier and the United States president talked about a UFO threat. So there's no question that they were dealing with that on a strategic level. If you go back and you really penetrate that history, you see that Gorbachev and others were trying to prevent a nuclear exchange over the UFO file. And Kennedy originally had tried to do this himself with Khrushchev. He had said to his own intelligence agencies, release now our most high threat cases and what they look like, what the craft look like to the Russians. I want to share our UFO file with them. This is where Kennedy gets into major trouble. There were all these problems they had with Kennedy anyway, but his interest in the UFO file and his background in the UFO file, that's the ultimate thing. That's the ultimate card. And as a matter of fact, the Watergate attorney, Douglas Caddy, said that when he was speaking to his friend and, you know, basically somebody who had a close family friend who'd been the top of the CIA, Howard Hunt, Hunt took him aside before he went to prison and said Kennedy was assassinated over the UFO file. This thing is a long, long history. A number of officials have come out and said, oh yeah, Kennedy was doing all this stuff around the UFO file. We couldn't talk about it back then. Well, you can talk about it now, and they better talk about it soon, because the type of mealy-mouthed UFO congressional hearings that they've had aren't doing anything. They aren't moving the needle at all. As a matter of fact, they're moving us into a position of a bullseye with this whole UFO threat piece being hoisted upon us. And really what you can do with the UFO threat, you can organize a COG program, and you can make it emergency powers coming directly from NORAD. And the continuity of government program is set up for a national emergency, nuclear or X. And in this case, the UFO threat fits that perfectly. So it's very dangerous when you get into false disclosure. And that's why people who are on the inside, you know, in the NGA and the NRO and these other groups, on the intelligence side, the NSA, they cannot be allowed, in the CIA, they can't be allowed to run disclosure because they're pushing a narrative.
And I know we don't like groups to infight. I know we don't like to stir up trouble and probably the police here. We're not. But when I see on the other big shows, most of these people, you can tell it's a script. You can tell it's to be, they're in the bottom of a base with the gray aliens. Or they're on a phone call and heard about it. Or they always heard it from somebody else. Or they're out in the middle of somewhere and these aliens run by in the desert. And it's always tied to some movie production or something. And they've been authorized because they have classifications, but they're a whistleblower. The real ones get killed or disappeared. And you're sitting there watching this. They just flood disinfo on purpose. But in reality, whether it's the high priest of this early on, H.G. Wells, and then after him, the inventor of the telecommunications satellite, theoretically, it was the Russians first launched at Sputnik, Arthur C. Clarke, and all of their writings where they would give the awards to certain groups, certain messages they wanted, and that you're going to go up to this wormhole and transcend and come back as the star child to Lucifer, and it's actually in the book, Lucifer's the new sun that forms, out after the star child is born. And if you really get down to Spielberg's movies and all of it, that's what this is they're here directing our evolution right now. And that goes into the interdimensionals and what they're actually trying to do, because these things are energy. So they decide when this their body or their incarnation's gone, they decide to build their own system separate from God. And what it basically creates is their own little universes. And then more and more, I probably sat there and focused right now for 10 minutes and do it. I mean, literally, it's just, for me, it's almost, I don't want to say it's embarrassing, it's weird to sit there and I wouldn't even call it being like a channeler or whatever. It's like a relay or something. But I can assure you folks, this is all real. Go ahead.
That's amazing. You know, and to do the kind of reporting and the things that you do tying into these different things, you need a very well-developed intuition and instinct for all of it and all these different aspects. When you get into the metaphysical side, I think it's fascinating because one of the things that you've done now with bringing forward the UFO file conversation, this is on a different level. And I've said this before, when you get UFO people and you get deep state people, the deep state people really understand how the government operates and they understand assassination teams and death squads and things of this nature. And, you know, blackmail and reputations being destroyed, all that type of stuff. The people on the UFO side only have one thing going for them. They don't have any of that deep research pedigree in the background. The only thing they have going for them is they know that there's a UFO file. So they have that great advantage. And I've talked over the years, you know, to people who are in the deep state side, and they've said, oh, I don't want to deal with that UFO thing. It's too much of a circus, you know, too many stories and all the rest of it. And then you go to the UFO people and they say, oh, the deep state stuff is too political for us, you know. So that's where the disconnect has been. If you merge those two things, as we do with dark journalism, here's what happens. You get the best of the understanding and the research around the deep state profile, and then you also get the other piece, which is the deeper piece around psychic information, or if it relates to mystery schools, there is a background.
And when
there's
you study this,
track.
That's what the whole elite is involved in. So someone said, what are you doing talking about it? You're part of the occult. No, occult just means hidden. They keep it hidden. Yeah. I'm trying to have it unhidden. I'm not like some guy that even knows. I even know how all this works. I just know that if you're running around assassination teams, I don't think you're getting the knock on your shoulder about this. And that's how God works in mysterious ways. It's not just me. There are, I think you agree, exponentially people are seeing their ESP, their psychic powers, their connections, their intuition is intensifying right now. And I think that goes in these cycles. I think they know that's here.
It's true. It's interesting. In spiritual and mystical circles, they call that a quickening, right? There's something in the collective, the human collective, that knows you're going to be hit with this. Part of it is the AI piece. There's no question about that as well. And that is a whole Atlantean aspect where they tried this once before too. Didn't work out so great because, you know, they couldn't really fully determine, is this thing human or is this thing a robot, you know? And so when they merged the two, they had really big problems with automatons. So that's the Casey and Rudolf Steiner story, telling us our ancient history. You'd already done this. You already made robotics. You already made cyborgs. And you already had crafts that not only could fly anywhere that you told them to, but they could fly through things. So that's quantum mechanics. And, you know, when we get into those levels, it's interesting. These are the things that we're hitting on now. When you have public officials, like we started the show off with this official, the FEMA official, who says, I was teleported to a Waffle House. Why is this guy even saying that? I mean, it's remarkable. He obviously experienced something. And he obviously was in the know about something. If you go into the missing scientist story, you'll look at the story of Anthony Chavez. Well, Chavez was somebody, now they've found out he was working on a quantum group looking to teleport from distances. And they were teleporting objects from distances using this advanced technology. This guy disappears. You know, I don't think it's any secret either that the other people who disappeared, you know, when this guy talks about being teleported to Rome, Georgia, it's very unusual because the Novartis meetings with the missing scientist, Jason Thomas, he worked for Novartis. He disappeared up here in Natick, in fact. And this guy, now Novartis, Trump had the meeting with the Novartis CEO in Rome, Georgia, right in the same, within 6 weeks of all that. So there's something going on there. It relates to this advanced technology. I don't think there's any doubt about it. One of the things that I put in my Twitter feed, which is, and it's literally Exhibit 6, and the Exhibit 6 has this whole thing going on where it is an actual video from Lockheed Martin about Looking Glass, and it shows the Golden Domes as kind of beehives that come down over everything. That's where they're leading things, and this is the nature of the problem. The conversation about the Golden Dome really needs to come forward.
Let's go ahead and play that clip right now. It's only a minute 32. Exhibit X from Dark Journalist at Dark Journalist on X. Looking Glass, Exhibit 6. Here it is.
Yes.
Watchtower, this is Looking Glass. We have a missile launch detection.
Confirmed. We have missile warning. Confirm threat and report confidence.
Continuous tracking confirmed. Inbound threat confidence is high.
Engagement authorized. Confirm target and initiate interceptor launch.
Confirmed. Single missile interceptor away. Green interceptor on track and link established. Interceptor onboard targeting active. Multiple objects detected. Target assignment initiated. Verified. All target objects assigned. Intercept in 3, 2, 1. Watchtower, this is Looking Glass. System has confirmed intercept.
We confirm. All target objects eliminated. Moving to status green.
And that's the counter, what you see with Iran and everybody else. And whoever has that has the dominance.
What I want to say about what we're looking at there at the Lockheed piece is what they're showing with, first of all, they're using the term Looking Glass, which comes directly out of UFO lore, which is the piece that Dan Burish, the Area 51 whistleblower, came forward and said, they have this device. It's called Looking Glass. You can see into the future. They can already see the events before they've actually happened, so they know how to respond to them. That's why it just seems like they're beyond everything. Well, that Golden Dome Looking Glass, whenever they show the Golden Dome in action, they have these little gold hexagons that show up on the screen, and they create a field, an energy field around their objects, and they say, we're tracking these objects, like flying saucers, for example, UFOs, you know, UAP. And they show this hexagon figure, and then they show this kind of beehive effect, and the thing basically disintegrates. That's what they're doing.
Hold
and
on, stay there, stay there. Do a little bit more time with us, please, Dark Journalist. When you start over with this Lockheed ad, explain Looking Glass. When we come back, this is a big deal. And I remember you years ago talking about the Looking Glass technology, seeing the future. So and that's what Crazios, the chief scientist of Trump, said, we control time and space, we can see the future. Really, we'll be right back. Comes the signal, triggering human evolution. That's what they're telling you with the AI, all of it. It will transfer and no longer be human. They're deciding to take control of us like they're God. Daniel List is our guest, Dark Journalist on X, darkjournalist.com. We queued the Lockheed Martin official ad back up about the Golden Dome, the so-called global missile defense system over North America, just to begin there. With satellites and missiles, and you were talking about something at the first of it you want to point out.
Yes, there's a weird effect that shows up in that video.
Honeycomb.
First of all, the fact that they name it Looking Glass, she's Looking Glass giving the instructions, and Looking Glass comes directly now out of this UFO background lore. It was Dan Burish, who was someone who's working at Area 51, who defected and came out and said, well, a number of things were going on there, but one of the things they had was this literally device that they had developed out of the alien technology called Looking Glass. And Looking Glass gave them the ability, just like, you know, in this kind of fabulous Alice in Wonderland story, of looking and seeing things into the future and seeing this whole piece. So for them to include Looking Glass with the Golden Dome, I found very unusual. The second thing that they did is they include these very strange beehives and that could come down as part of the effect. And it is this kind of hexagon figures that come over things and destroy them and eliminate them and literally make them disappear. And they're like, you know, we have the objects in our sight, boom. So that's kind of like the UFO zapper, basically. They're saying the Golden Dome can do this. The Golden Dome is, in fact, a UFO defense grid. This is the same thing that the Reagan administration, if you go back in history, was trying to develop in 1983. Of course, Trump was part of the continuity of government team for the Reagan administration in 1987. He's very aware on all these things. And he's not often engaged for what he knows about the UFO file, except that you will see him break into that strange musing of Uncle John Trump. And of course, Uncle John Trump had this UFO knowledge. What's interesting about the Lockheed video, there it is. If you see that effect, this is that Golden Dome beehive effect that eliminates things by placing this energy grid over them. And I think it gives us a big hint about what that is for. And it is
and it implies it's electromagnetic pulse some way because the lights go out when it activates.
Yes, exactly. And it we have a whole spectrum there. It's full spectrum dominance. I mean, it's taking over the whole reality of the thing. So, you know, simultaneously, the Golden Dome protects you from what's out in space, and it dominates everything that's on the ground. There's an incredible surveillance factor to it. She's feeding it coordinates through Looking Glass. So, you know, are they getting the information 2 minutes before the incident even happens?
Well, they're implying that it's a weapon system for the ground to target electromagnetic kill switches.
Exactly. And those people who've gotten near, and by the way, not a lot of people have gotten near the true secrecy around the UFO file. Those people who've gotten near to it have said it was farmed out of government because they didn't want to track it back and run into all these legal problems over the UFO file. And they farmed it out in different periods through the Nixon administration and others directly to industry, directly to corporations. And so the corporations hold the patent, the defense contractors. So they're the ones who hold the patent for this. That's part of the problem that we're looking at. So when you see Lockheed saying, yeah, we're the number one people when it comes to the Golden Dome, they're going to pull in other people. They'll have Palantir and SpaceX and all these others. And one of the weirdest things they're doing with it is they're actually staging now from these different ships in the Philly shipyard, believe it or not, where the Philadelphia experiment happened, Project Invisible with Einstein and Thomas Townsend Brown.
Wow.
Yeah, they're using the exact same Philly shipyard. They announced that 2 days ago.
Hold on. I know you got to go, and I was going to have you go because I got other news to hit. But do five more on that. I'm just going to – I didn't know that. Yeah. In fact, you kind of act like I know a lot of this stuff. I only know a little bit compared to you. Why don't you just quickly run down all the other stuff that's breaking? Because we say there's a bunch of nothing burgers, but that's huge. Because I know about Philadelphia experiment. Good Lord. Daniel List was about to leave us at darkjournalist.com, at darkjournalist.x, filmmaker, author, top expert on real information dealing with all the things – we're dealing with the UFOs, the UAPs, the aliens, the attempts to cover it up, secret technologies, breakaway civilizations. I wanted you to, because you said just 2 days ago something I didn't know about broke that was huge, and then you were nodding your head. There's some other big stuff that broke that we haven't gotten to yet that I was unaware of. So please elaborate on that, Daniel.
Yeah, so Breaking Defense, which is the major military news organization, they reported 2 days ago now that the Golden Dome is going to be supported by ships directly in the Philly shipyard. And they've just got the deal. It's $1.4 billion, and it's these amazing grids that they're putting in. This is part of what they wanted to put into Greenland, by the way, and why they had all the threats against Greenland earlier in the year. And the Philly shipyard, if you just go back a little bit in history, you're going to find Thomas Townsend Brown and Einstein and all these others working on this famous experiment of Project Invisibility, which they thought they needed during that World War II period. And they worked on it extensively until they realized the human cost was too high. Eventually, did they achieve teleportation? Did they achieve invisibility? They probably did. But the initial reports were that when they teleported people, they would show up inside of things, they would lose lives. And they had some very freakish accidents associated with it. However, they did in the history of it, and there's a whole piece with Morris Jessup and Carlos Allende in the late 1950s, puts out all this information about the Philadelphia experiment, and Jessup unceremoniously ends up like a lot of those missing scientists do, dead in a park in Florida when he was on his way to meet his friend to tell him all this stuff about what he had discovered about the Navy. Now, the Naval Shipyard legend and the Philadelphia experiment murders are something that has been documented over time. But the Philly Shipyard, to get the contract for the Golden Dome, in my opinion, it represents the fact that they knew there was something there in that location where they could use this teleportation, or it's a nod to it. It's saying this is what took place back then. This is a continuation of that program. By the way, when you get into things, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of tribute that goes on in relation to what happened in different places. So when you get the naming mechanisms, when you get the steganography, you're in a kind of an interesting field. But the Philadelphia experiment being even associated at all with the Golden Dome again, takes us into these weird, and I mean very strange places, as the Trump administration very often does. We have things like UFO disclosure, teleportation, and these other things being on the front burner. But we're getting a very thin version of it publicly. And the thing is, that thin version can be dangerous unless it's backed up and you're really deciding to move the culture into the knowledge place. Because if you're just going with the breakaway civilization, they're saying, well, we've had this technology for 80 years. We developed it with the public's money. We kept it from the public. But we're going to break back in and dole out the technology without telling them anything about the real story of where it came from and who they had to eliminate in order to control the story around this. So this is what we've been looking at. I think when you get to the UFO file, 2026 so far is a crucial year because it's coming to a head. And I will say this on the Trump side, I think there's a desire inside the Trump administration to get those agencies and to get the defense contractors to be able to give up the UFO file, because the presidency has not had control, the executive branch of the UFO file, since the Kennedy administration. This is the nature of the problem. And even in Trump's administration, we've got the echo of Kennedy through Bobby Kennedy at HHS. And, you know, Bobby's been on the program. He's very, very aware of the actions of the intelligence agencies and the elimination of his own family members. So, you know, we've got kind of a stasis situation going on here, a building narrative. One narrative is over here saying there's a UFO threat, we're going to throw all this money at it, and the intelligence agencies are going to save you. Over here is another thing that says, no, get rid of all the CIA people, get rid of the NGA, the NRO, and all those groups, get rid of the NORAD piece around this, and go for real UFO disclosure in the heart of it. And what they've done as kind of a distraction mechanism is they've used guys like Burleson and Burchett and others and been, you know, saying, hey, these UFOs are demons. You need to tell everyone. And they've set up these meetings. They've done that whole bit with ministers saying, hey, you have to tell your flock that these UFOs are demons. Well, there's a lot of narrative massaging that's going on here because they don't know which narrative they want to use. All they know is that right now the threat is their number one piece. And that's the thing that they've been pushing on it. And that's where you get into deeper layers of secrecy. Because to be honest with you, we started the program off with President Nixon. Look, Nixon was the one who got us to the moon finally. Kennedy started it. And the Nixon administration, 1972, they cut off all manned missions to the moon with no explanation. 53 years later, we're circling the moon. Hey, we're going to go back. What happened 53, 54 years in between? An entire infrastructure was developed. That's where you get into the UFO file and the secret space program. These things are on record. The time capsule conversation is on record now. I've put that out through Robert Merritt. So Nixon had knowledge of the UFO file and actively sought ways to be a part of that disclosure. And that's back then in 1972.
So the bottom line is,
how much further along are they?
There is lots of interesting things happening, a lot of developments, a lot of movements. They're trying to get ahead of something that they don't control. Fascinating. We'll continue to track all this. Daniel, Dark Journalist, thank you so much.
It's great to see you.
Wow. Well, that's the best look you're going to get on what's going on with all this. We've had a lot of listeners continually asking that, so I've been trying to get Daniel on a few weeks. He's been busy, but he just joined us, and you just got an hour of really powerful information there, ladies and gentlemen.
One of the key factors that we get after the fact of Nixon placing the time capsule and ultimately being removed from office in 1974 is that we get Ford ascending to the presidency, who was originally involved, one, with the UFO file in the 1960s, because his own state of Michigan was up in arms with these incredible waves of sightings that were just going on. And it seemed like there was no end to the waves of sightings at that point. So he suggested a congressional hearing, and he got it. And he was the congressman at the time. The other thing that he had going for him is that he was on the Warren Commission, and he rubber stamped the false, Warren Commission, Ellen Dulles, CIA conclusion of a lone gunman and all the rest and all the nonsense that came with it. That massive cover-up of the president's death cannot be underestimated in terms of the rewards that were given out to different people for going along and participating in this incredible hoax. So we have this handing off of the UFO file to Ford, who's removed very fast, very quickly. And we get Carter in there. And Carter's relationship with the UFO file is interesting. He has a deep interest in the subject, one, two. He's actually seen a UFO. He's witnessed it and may possibly have even been an abductee himself. And I think we're looking at Carter, that whole era, there's a wave of disclosure. There are disclosure movies, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Steven Spielberg. Of course, we're getting a redo of that whole thing here in 2026 with Disclosure Day. Spielberg at 80 years old at the helm again with the whole idea that, oh, you know, these aliens are here and it could upset the apple cart of religion, particularly Christianity, according to Spielberg. I'd like to see him explain that one a little bit deeper. But I think what we're looking at here is that, you know, the same figures are being tapped and those programs run for decades. There's no question in my mind about it. I've pointed out the figures who've been involved in obscuring it over the years, like Bobby Ray Inman and Christopher Mellon and others. And those people are still involved many, many years after the fact of the initial cover-up. I want to also say that we have to take a real view on this, that the UFO issue was heating up by the time President Kennedy got in office. The thing was, Kennedy knew a lot about the UFO file, and he knew about the UFO file through his friend, James Forrestal, who was the first Secretary of Defense of the United States. Now, Forrestal was in charge of MJ-12, and one of the things that got him unceremoniously thrown out of a window at Bethesda Naval Hospital was the fact that he had a different point of view about what we should do with this. And so he's part of that ex-share group that thinks the public can handle this and that it would be better and wiser to do it rather than just, you know, kind of get this incredible obfuscation off on the public and keep it from the public and just basically keep it in the shadows. When he goes out of that window, the 13th floor at Bethesda Naval Hospital, one whole wave of UFO disclosure goes with him. And his good friend, John F. Kennedy, who was a congressman at the time, was well aware that something was wrong with that murder. And, you know, it's interesting if you reflect on it, because he had been over, Kennedy had been over with Forrestal in post-war Berlin, walking through the ruins. And Forrestal had given him that, you know, kind of entree. And at the time, Kennedy was actually a newsman. He was a journalist just before his run for Congress. And they were both fellow Catholics, and there was this close bond between them. By the time the UFO file hits, in fact, with Roswell, Kennedy is one of the first people in Congress informed about the entire thing. And there is documentation to that fact. Forrestal goes out the window a couple of years later, and we have somebody with a lot of knowledge then going into the Senate in 1952, and that is Senator John F. Kennedy. Now, what should we say about Kennedy's participation in this? One thing that is often missed by people looking into these matters is a 1958 letter where Kennedy, this is still in the archives of the Kennedy Library, in fact, where he is going to a figure at the Air Force and demanding, you know, where the materials are related to UFOs. That's 1958, though. This is 3 years before he actually gets into office. In that election in 1960, there's all these charges and co-charges, and, you know, the threat of World War III with Russia is right there. And one of the things that Kennedy decides to do when he gets into office, especially with the standoff of the Cuban Missile Crisis and other things, where it really looked like there was going to be a nuclear exchange, no question about it, he decides, you know what, one of the things we need to do is, you know, end the space race and go to the moon together, one. So we're going to come up with this plan, and we're going to go into space. It's going to be an outer space cooperation with the Soviet Union. And he suggests the idea. They wonder about it at first, like, what is this guy up to? Because no other American president ever suggested this. But Kennedy realizes something, which is, if you don't build a bridge with them, we're just going to have war with them in outer space. And what's the point of going into outer space and placing all these weapons there? We're going to obliterate humanity. So he thinks this is the next step of doing things. Now, he gives the order to share the high threat cases relating to the UFO file directly with his Russian counterpart, Nikita Khrushchev. And that is the final shot in the sense of the assassination of President Kennedy, because the CIA is looking at that. The people inside Paperclip NASA are looking at that, and they're thinking, no way. In fact, the Nazi scientists that we recruited, who brought over so much of this information relating to advanced physics in the UFO file, they're looking at the Russians, and they've just had a war where they, you know, killed 30 million Russians. And they're like, we're never going to share, you know, the highest secret inside the government with those guys. And, you know, Kennedy has got to go. Now, that link there with the paperclip scientists and the Central Intelligence Agency has to be understood because of the foundations with Alan Dulles and others around that program of getting this. The John J. McCloy as well, who ends up somebody who really, you know, has the green light for all the German paperclip scientists coming into America. And, of course, Russia got its fair share of German scientists as well, but you could say that maybe we got the best share in relation to this. That's why we are the ones who end up going to the moon. We are the ones who end up dominating space. And everyone seems to be behind us, which is unusual because, you know, when it comes to space technology, anybody can replicate, right? But what is it? What's the secret sauce that we have going on that they don't have? You know, these are the questions that need to be rolled out with all of this. One of the things that I brought forward was a documentary called Blue Enigma about President Kennedy's efforts around Blue. Now, Blue is the program that the government had for UFO secrecy. It involved chasing UFOs. So they had things like the X-15 developed to do exactly that. We have people like Philip Corso and others on record. And they also had something called Blue Gemini. And Blue Gemini is a program I've always been fascinated by and brought so much information on board about this. And bringing that information to bear is fascinating because Blue Gemini is a program that no one can really see where the origin comes from. It's not a presidential effort. It's not a NASA effort. Where does it come from? Even the official histories in NASA call it an orphan program. Well, this thing was brought in specifically as a UFO defense fighter. And the whole thing, they were going to observe UFOs and learn how to shoot them and all the rest of it through Blue Gemini. Now, Kennedy went directly to NASA and said, he sent his defense secretary, in fact, who said, look, president's looked at this. You've got two space programs going on. You've got a secret space program over here and then a regular public NASA program. This Blue Gemini thing, either, you know, you get this program public like the others, or we're going to give it directly to the military, because at least that's the devil we know. We'll give it back to the Department of Defense. And there's an incredible back and forth before President Kennedy's death relating to Blue Gemini. Blue has come up on a number of occasions. One of the things we did with that documentary is force the government to come out and say, well, yeah, there is a program that we had called Blue. It was a crash retrieval program for UFOs, but you know what? It never found anything, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything, which is incredibly ridiculous when you come down to it. But in fact, Blue was a very successful program, and it was a very important program right from the heart of the secrecy. Blue was the program that we see stretched out in reference through Project Blue Book, in the street legend of Project Blue Beam. In all of these various things, including up-to-date versions of Blue from Jeff Bezos, Blue Origin, and all of the Blue aspects of these different companies coming in and trying to serve the Golden Dome. So what we have is this blue and gold theme where the Golden Dome is the gold part that President Trump is pushing. I'm going to get into why this blue and gold theme is so crucial for understanding it. Of course, those are the Mason colors, and that's the Mason Lodge coloring. It has a very esoteric track, but what it relates to directly is secrecy, and that's the deep secrecy that we're following here tonight. Now, one of the most controversial things, I guess, that Robert Merritt claimed was that Nixon had told him that the United States was in possession of this energy formula, and that formula, in fact, was on the time capsule message that was left behind. I'm going to get into where I think that message is coming up here, but for now, I'm just going to go back to the story. The controversial aspect that he talks about is that there is a being that they've learned to communicate with, and this goes deep into the story about crash retrievals, and then some of those crash retrievals, maybe some of the beings that we found were, in fact, still alive. That has to come into the picture here, as do all of the incredibly famous cases relating to alien abduction, from the Betty and Barney Hill story to the Allagash incident and others. Those have to be weighed in the balance here, because we're looking at a group that is not only possessing the technology, but is doing tests on human beings. And that also has been going on for a long, long time. So the question is, what kind of scientific trade-offs are happening here? Or is this happening in a vacuum? Is the government fully aware of how the abductions work? These things all relate, because if Nixon is talking about a being and that they've learned to communicate with this being, you know, ostensibly a gray scientist who gave us this information, well, then that kind of opens up a whole lot about what the time capsule story is really all about. Because, of course, there were stories for many, many years about characters that were named like J-Rod and things of this nature. Well, when you look at that, and especially, you know, all the lore that's come out over time, what I've found in general is that in the background there, there's always some truth to some of these things. And you don't get these legends for nothing. Now, there might be disinformation that's spun out of them. You know, you might get a Bob Lazar story where, you know, he's easy to discredit because he was a pimp and other things like that. And there are aspects of his story that don't add up. But the core of his story, again, the idea that there was a group inside of Area 51 holding this technology and testing this technology and all the rest, you can see that that part seems to have many different counterparts that support that type of a narrative. So we have to keep that in mind as we go here. You know, and that could also apply to other things. You know, part of the thing that they're doing with the Golden Dome now, with the commercials and all the rest, is they're encoding the name Looking Glass with it. And of course, Looking Glass comes out of the famous Area 51 whistleblower, Dan Burish, who said, well, they're using this Looking Glass device and they're actually looking off into the future. They can see what's going to happen. So that's why the elites are two steps ahead of everyone in the public. They can predict this, they can predict that, they can make these things happen, they can make a COVID op happen, et cetera. Well, the UFO threat is something that the intelligence agencies have been building up for a while. And I can only imagine in relation to the types of scenario planning that they've done, they've had the best human planners. Now they have the best AI planners. Of course, they've had those for many years as well. But the Looking Glass technology and the reference to it in the Golden Dome commercials and things from Lockheed Martin, I think give us a great deal of insight. The other thing the Golden Dome commercials have in the Lockheed Martin spots is this incredible hexagon and this thing that comes down like a beehive. I think that we're getting a hint there of the technology. One of the things that Alex said that reminded him of was an EMP. There's no question. It's like the honeycomb takes over and it eliminates anything that's in its path. There was an original idea around this, which goes all the way back to the work of Nikola Tesla. I've tracked it through a series of episodes called the Melchizedek device. Now, the Melchizedek device is something, in fact, that the FBI is sending in Professor John Trump to go through the personal belongings and the safe and the storage room of Nikola Tesla. Now, what they were looking for, according to Trump, was a device that could take down flying objects at a distance. And if you just put unidentified flying objects in front of that, which is what the FBI eventually wound up designating them as part of their X-Files under Guy Bannister, that starts to give us a hint of what we're talking about. I would also say that maybe what we're looking at with John Trump going in there is he has to give some kind of a PR answer, which he does, which says, well, Tesla had all kinds of ideas about death rays and all the rest of it, but none of it added up to more than just, you know, theoretical information. Well, no, I think there were actual papers that laid out schematics for those things. And I think that's why Tesla was under such tight surveillance at the end of his life. But the idea that what they were looking for was this thing that could take down these flying objects at a distance. So if you're sitting there in Honolulu and New York has a UFO go over it and you can just press a button and take it down, that's the thing that they felt that Nikola Tesla was working on. And that is this whole piece around the Melchizedek device. I found later traces of it in the story of George Adamski. In fact, when he describes the exact same device, the FBI come over and rough him up and say, you know, they tap his phones initially, and he's talking to someone about a scientist who was in possession of the Melchizedek device, which can do this, can pull down UFOs. And they say, tell us who the scientist is. We want to know all about him. You know, give us that whole background. Well, this is the absolutely fascinating missing chapter in all of this. And I think we have to take that and keep it in mind as well. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. Woo! Deep, deep tonight into Robert Merritt and the time capsule and President Nixon's premature disclosure. Now, that Melchizedek device story goes on and on through history. We've done a number of stories about it. It ends up at a ranch run by someone called Brother Sunburst, who was associated with many of the early contactee groups, including George Van Tassel. And Sunburst, who was really a kind of a New Age guru, would end up marrying one of Van Tassel's daughters. And he would himself be a disciple of Yogananda. So there were all kinds of interesting layers going on. All sorts of interesting connections going on with this. And it will be the brother of acclaimed Hollywood film director Brian De Palma who will happen upon all of these incredible contacts with Sunburst and will himself deliver up this free energy device, which I'm sure is based directly off of the conceptual device, the Melchizedek device, which was devised theoretically by Nikola Tesla. And there was a huge search through government over that can be documented really through many, many years, many, many documents. And we find ourselves looking at figures like Curtis LeMay and others trying to get to the bottom of this. And he's recruiting people at that point, trying to get a handle on the Melchizedek device. Those who are familiar with Reichian devices and all the work of Wilhelm Reich. So I think that gives you some indication, some hint there. Of course, Reich was really taken out of the picture in a very unceremonious fashion. And they used all sorts of different things against him, you know, and gave him a bad reputation and everything else. But all he was really doing was exploring energy. And, you know, they couldn't have that going on, especially with his UFO work as well. So he's another one of these scientists. You know, long before we had the missing and dead scientists, we had the missing and dead scientists. So this is a pattern that repeats, unfortunately. And we've done the deep, deep research, some 12 episodes now on these missing scientists, including William McCaslin. And McCaslin is so key and so crux. I just want to take a moment here to go over the circumstances of his disappearance. This is someone who disappeared now on February 27th. And the government has not put out word one about his location. It does not seem to be engaged in a very heavy search for this man. Now, we know through a WikiLeaks drop that comes all the way back from 2016, some 10 years before he disappeared, that Tom DeLonge and John Podesta were going back and forth about him, what a valuable asset he would be for their UFO disclosure project, run mostly by the CIA, incidentally. But how important it would be to recruit McCaslin in relation to this, and DeLonge is trying to really pump up Podesta in this fashion. And he's saying, look, you know, this guy was in charge of all of the Roswell material. He was the one who was out there and he'd been redeveloping this for years, in fact. And, you know, the crash happens in 1947 and maybe McCaslin takes over in the 1980s. And so he's working on it. He's working on it. Then he retires, but he's going to work for strategic companies like Blue Halo and others who will work on the Golden Dome. Now, it is his assistant, Monica Reza, that he'll work on a project with for some 5 years at Wright-Patterson, redeveloping this material from the Roswell crash. What she gets out of it is a product called Mondaloy, and Mondaloy is incredibly heat-resistant. What we've done in our episodes is show how this Mondaloy has all the same properties as the mystery Roswell metal. You couldn't bend it, you couldn't burn it, etc. But what she does is something very interesting, is she develops a private patent for it. And the fact that she has this scientific patent in relation to this, I think, gives the story an entirely different twist, including the fact that she disappears now in June of 2025 while on a hiking trail she was very well familiar with, and she was there with some companions. And the companions, the way they tell it is, you know, at a certain point they're hiking along, they look back, she smiles and waves. They move up for about a minute, they look back, no more smiling and waving, she's gone, she's disappeared. Broad daylight, sometime after 9 o'clock in the morning, and she's gone. There's no scent, there's nothing. Her hat is found a few feet away, and that's where the scent ends. Well, those are the types of real black ops when you're going to disappear someone on that scientific level. And they were getting rid of Monica Reza. She was a key person in that team relating directly to Major General William McCasland. Now, McCasland, we have to remember, if he's in charge of this, then he is somebody who's very key with all these committees and things coming up. And there are groups inside the government who supposedly want him to testify about, you know, UFOs and UAP and all the rest. Now, they've been getting a lot of superficial testimony around this. I don't want to suggest for a moment that the government would ever let the public get to the bottom of the UFO file at all. But the threat, the idea that President Trump is going to go out there and even with this limited disclosure might expose something that McCaslin was working on, they go set about to eliminate the team. And Monica Reza was a key member of that team. In the same one-month period, another person disappears, and her name is Melissa Katsios. And she will disappear after working at Los Alamos. And of course, Los Alamos is also where McCaslin had been working along with Monica Reza as well. And there's a whole thing that happens there. In this case, I think gets stranger and stranger. Now, she had been missing for a year, but here's part of the other pattern with the missing scientist. The body suddenly turns up, just leaning against a tree, and it had been skeletonized. So, you know, all the searching that they had done around there, where she had disappeared, suddenly she reappears. This is something that happened here also with a scientist named Jason Thomas, who disappeared in Wakefield. Now, it's very interesting that he was working on these secret projects about biologics, and he was working for Novartis as a major leading pharmaceutical group. And it's interesting to note that President Trump would meet, in fact, right in the same time period when Thomas had disappeared, and then later they would find him in a lake. Trump had met with the CEO of Novartis in Rome, Georgia. So, very interesting circumstances around the timing there. Another strange fact to weave into this is that Rome, Georgia is also the place that supposedly a major FEMA director named Greg Phillips claimed he was teleported to a Waffle House. Now, I kid you not, we know that story was amusing when it came out, but it's also very, very strange if you think about it, because, you know, it cost him his job and all the rest of it. Why did this guy go on the record saying he was teleported anywhere? And he claimed he was teleported 13 miles away and, quote, it was no fun. Part of that story holds weight, and it's very odd. It's just one of those oddities there. Somebody may be sending a signal, as it were, about teleportation. But another factor around the missing scientists is, in fact, teleportation. And that gets us to the story of the missing scientist, Anthony Chavez, who, after all, now it's been disclosed, was working exactly on teleportation. So we're going into these advanced technologies, and a lot of them have been redeveloped from the UFO file. This is the crux of the matter, which is the apotheum redevelopment in the UFO file becomes then the biggest secret inside the national security state. When we're looking at these factors and putting these things together, we have to kind of wrap our minds around why the secrecy at this level. And very often it's been assumed not to upset the apple cart of society or religion or whatever it would happen to be. And I understand that. I've never felt like that was a compelling enough reason. In fact, it always seemed to me that what we're looking at with the apotheum effects, remember, you're getting a reality distortion field. And I'm going to spell this word out now. It's apotheum. Okay, something we need to get into the lexicon. Because what's going on there is the reality distortion that takes place in a normal UFO encounter is the same thing that happens when they turn on the X technology. So, you know, Nikola Tesla's over here in 1903 setting off earthquakes in Manhattan. When a UFO shows up, it'll shut down an entire city electrical grid. What else is it that happens? Well, there's missing time. So time disappears for those participants who are involved. Machines won't start. You know, if the craft lands, nothing will grow there for 20 years. So there's a number of kind of physical aspects to this that defy the traditional model of physics when we're looking at it. The other thing that happens, if you look at some of the real deep researchers going into the abduction phenomena, which has been sadly lost in so much of the running around to catch the CIA's coattails that goes on in the disclosure community, which is really, you know, has nothing to do with real disclosure. That's CIA disclosure for a threat, and they've given up on the abduction cases. But the abduction researchers, and I knew some of them, I was lucky enough to meet people like John Mack when I was very young. But what you find out when you're looking at this is that they say, well, something is happening here because these people, not only are they being abducted, but they see themselves going through things. So they're going through walls, and yet they're showing up in a physical body on a craft. That's, you know, where they're getting these very deep physical examinations, where they're taking samples and sperm samples and, you know, all of these different things related to procreation. Well, that's interesting enough, but there are also other cases. And if you look back at some of them, the cases of Ray Fowler, where some of the abductees are see themselves being abducted in their car, and then they're above the situation watching it. So there's some kind of displacement of their astral body that takes place here as well. We need to be on top of all those aspects and see how they relate to that experience. You get an idea of what apotheum is all about. If it does, in fact, distort reality to that degree, and that can be devised as a weapon, you can only imagine those types of things. You know, even torsion physics makes the atomic bomb look like a firecracker and makes our nuclear capability look like nothing. We've got weapons, and the development of weapons that goes far, far beyond anything like that. So now that we have kind of an overview of, you know, the Kennedy aspect and how that was important in government for them to hide it and actually eliminate President Kennedy, kill the chief executive and hide inside the X-Protect group between that shadowy corridor between the CIA and the aerospace companies, then move it into this period of the Nixon presidency where he's preparing disclosure, again, a threat to the X-Protect group. And through Watergate, he's eliminated. But he was actually, remember, according to Merritt, somebody who was going to, as part of the 200th birthday of the United States, the bicentennial, 1976, going to announce, here's UFO disclosure, alternative means of energy developed. Of course, they had the whole thing like the Arab oil crisis and everything back there. So when we look at that, we really get a handle what President Nixon was about with this. He was going to introduce an entirely different system of technology, and he was developing it at Pine Gap. Well, oddly enough, it was the Prime Minister of Australia at the time who got thrown out in that exact same period. So there's a huge shakeup there where Prime Minister of Australia and our president, Nixon, both get thrown out of office, in fact. And this plan never comes to the fore. So where does that leave us? Well, Merritt said Nixon knew that this whole thing was going to go down after Watergate. And what he did was, for posterity and other reasons, he hid the information in a time capsule. Now, Merritt said the time capsule was in the White House. Like I opened up the show with, my research about this time capsule in Reston relating to the U.S. Geological Survey, I think is very interesting because that was originally run by John Wesley Powell. And John Wesley Powell is the person who formed the Cosmos Club. And the Cosmos Club, as I've identified, is UFO Bilderberg. That's where they bring people together to watch these things and to meet and to go over these things. It's the same thing as the Bilderberg meetings, off the record and all the rest, but it relates directly to the UFO file. That's how they've been able to do it. The Cosmos Club is still exists in Washington, D.C., and it's, you know, it has its tentacles throughout. It had an incredible zenith period, I believe, with the founding of it. And if you look into the stories that we've done on the Cosmos Club, it's quite extraordinary because you take someone like John Wesley Powell, who really came out of nowhere, you know, but he was somebody who was stationed in the Civil War. And this is a very interesting fact of his career. He was stationed at Cape Girardeau. And it will be actually about 70 years later that a major UFO crash will happen right there, the first one of the era in 1941 with crash bodies, military recovery, and all the rest of it, some 6 years before the Roswell incident with crash saucers and military taking the dead alien bodies away. So we can see we're in a kind of a strange, unusual field of things here. But I want to say this about Powell, which is he's somebody who out of nowhere became an incredibly celebrated explorer and is somebody who's credited with discovering all the main portions of the Grand Canyon, had an incredibly close relationship with the Paiute Indians and in Nevada. And he seemed to have developed a whole mystical context. But my question has always been in relation to John Wesley Powell, did he in fact find a UFO crashed there out in the wilderness where he was searching? And is that what made him such an elevated figure? And has this process of hiding that technology been going on a lot longer than just the 1940s? That makes a lot of sense to me. That's why when I saw the time capsule, which, by the way, when you research the history on it, had no opening ceremony, had nothing. It's just this thing shows up in July of 1972, exactly when Merritt is meeting with Nixon and he's talking about placing his message in a time capsule. This thing shows up out of nowhere, and it resides there, you know, with little fanfare in Reston, Virginia. For me, that's one of the places I would look in relation to this. And I've always taken Merritt at his word that they left a message there in the White House. And yet there are so many things that Merritt knew and many things that, you know, he could only guess at. My feeling is that there is a copy of this throughout the federal landscape and that it's been searched for. And even things like the Trump ballroom may have been part of the search for the time capsule. It's hard to say when it gets to what Merritt was trying to tell us about after the fact of them going in with thermographic equipment and things and searching through the walls for it. But obviously, I believe a search was on. And I can even speak for myself. There were some unusual things that had gone on in the period where I was putting out so much information around the time capsule that led me to believe that something was operating on a level where those certain types of groups were following that information closely and following Merritt very, very closely indeed. And I think we, you know, we all owe him a debt of gratitude for putting this on the record. So these are the types of things that we need to get ourselves behind in looking at this story, understanding that one, Merritt was a solid operative for Nixon, that two, coming out with the story now, so many years after the fact, that was 1972, and he gave me the story now some 46 years later. So it's incredible that he was able to keep this, but he wanted to put it on the record before his own untimely death in 2020. So for that, I think we can all have say a thanks to Robert Merritt. And although the things that he did for the Houston plan and for President Nixon were certainly outside of the bounds of the rule of law, I think that Merritt thought that he was serving his country by doing these things. And they had identified certain types of qualities in Merritt from his own abusive background that were going to serve them. So in a way, he was a victim as well in all of this, and that the intelligence agencies used him, I think, needs to be paramount in our own minds when we look at this case. Now, one of the things that Merritt did before he died is he asked the National Archivist to put this information on the record, and that, you know, he would tell him where the location was as long as it could be stipulated with the president that they would open it up with the media there and read the message before the public. This is something that never happened. And as far as I know, Merritt never got an answer to that query. You know, and he used Douglas Caddy, who was the Watergate lawyer for all of this. And of course, Caddy was involved as well in the JFK UFO story, citing his friend E. Howard Hunt, who told him before he went to prison that Kennedy was eliminated, in fact, over the UFO file and the fact that he wanted to share it with the Russians. So that alien presence was the ultimate taboo in that case. So I think we have to look at all these things now in a different light. And that time capsule may have been and may be, in fact, a major football in the geopolitical happenings that we see going on in relation to the search for UFO disclosure. One of the things that's going on with this version of disclosure is it seems pretty lighthearted. It seems like a half-hearted effect, and it doesn't seem to be revealing a whole heck of a lot. They seem to be glorifying CIA figures like Lou Elizondo, and they have Christopher Mellon, the DOD billionaire who's been manipulating the process and the whistleblowers from the beginning. And he's choosing the videos that you get to see in relation to UFO disclosure. So right now we have a very soft disclosure, you know, kind of Dr. Phil coming up there. And, you know, he's the one who's going to deliver this for us. You know, it's pretty schlocky. And that does not have any of the heft of the real type of UFO disclosure that we need, which involves talking about the deep, deep technology that's been hidden by a breakaway civilization now for some 8 decades. And the X-Protect group, which is basically a lethal unit that protects that information. This is something, these are the things that need to be brought to the fore. And that level of technology that these groups have just leapt up to, you know, they're on a totally different level than the average person. And that contributes to this real kind of psychotic situation, the schizophrenic situation that we find ourselves in public life in relation to the UFO file. The way to get to the bottom of it, in my opinion, is to get to the bottom of the time capsule story of Robert Merritt. And Robert Merritt saying, Nixon placed that UFO disclosure message in there for a reason, which is he knew this was going to be very, very important for the future. So, you know, if any kind of push for disclosure needs to include the documentation around this and the search around this. So we need to look at it from that perspective. And the question is, again, when you're getting around this, they're trying to sell us a threat, obviously. And the threat is going to be used to ignite an emergency power situation through the continuity of government. Once they flip that switch, you've got the COG combatant commander, who's also the NORAD commander. By the way, he's also the NORTHCOM commander. And he becomes the ruler of the United States. And he selects regional governors. And the president just becomes a back number until they can set up the conditions to be right for an election again. So these are the types of stakes that are going on in the background. And I kid you not, this is the era of you know, the UFO threat piece. And I'll tell you, anyone who thinks about the COVID op in relation to this, that was a walk in the park compared to what they would do with the UFO threat aspect. We need to take these threads then that have been put out there that we have the connections for. One of those connections is John Trump with Tesla, and Tesla, you know, really being involved at such a deep level with the X technology, bringing forward technology that was so advanced. They were afraid of what would happen if he did that wireless energy piece from Wardenclyffe. Well, there'd be no more reason to pay these guys, you know, in oil or for energy and all the rest. So this is going back again and again to the type of stranglehold that the elites have on the culture and the types of things that we're looking at with advanced technology. So what I want to say in relation to all of this is that we're at a very kind of crucial period where we can't have this dog and pony show, watered down disclosure pass, and everyone running after CIA coattails so, you know, they can get the little scraps from inside the DOD and every other place where this is kept, supposedly. And, you know, so many of the researchers want to be a part of the documentaries and the books and Steven Spielberg and all the rest of it. So we need to throw all that completely out. You need a real dedicated, potent search going on, and that involves real citizen journalism to get to the bottom of it, because otherwise you're going to be in a situation where the intelligence agencies will not only manipulate the human origin story, they'll also be in a position to manipulate the whole idea of a threat coming in from space and how you need that Golden Dome defense grid. You know, it's only $1.4 trillion after all. And I think there is a place for introducing these things. You know, it's just like President Reagan wanted to introduce it after they were throwing a lot of fear things at him from behind the scenes and showing him clips of these ships that were filling the, you know, refilling themselves and fueling themselves in the rings of Saturn. And there's no question that they're observing real craft there. Those are the types of videos that we need to be taking a look at. But that whole thing convinced Reagan to do Star Wars. And as we know, Gorbachev pulled President Reagan aside and said, you know, let's talk at Reykjavik about everything. And that Reagan pulled him aside and said, look, what we need to do is get together and fight this UFO threat together. Will you do it with us? Now, he put that on the record in 2009. You see, that conversation took place over 20 years earlier, but it takes a long time for these things to come out. The problem is, in the current era, we don't have that time to wait. We need to get to the bottom of the answers now. That's why the story around the missing scientists is so crucial in getting to the bottom of it. And the complete inaction by the FBI, I think, is remarkable. And now the media has gone to sleep again on it. After we initially woke them up, and we woke the White House up with it too, they originally said, yeah, we're going to get into this and really find out, get to the bottom of it. Well, I've talked to some of those families, and I'll tell you, they're not very happy. Some of them haven't even been contacted by the FBI. And we're talking about the top people that are involved there. So there's all sorts of problems in relation to that that tell us, well, something is going on in relation to the UFO file. And if anything, they don't want you to know. They don't want you to get to the bottom of it. The other aspect I think that's crucial to understand here is that when you're looking at the story of Robert Merritt and Nixon's time capsule, this is something that can be backtracked. And it is something that can be brought to the fore. And it's part of the thing that we're trying to do on this show. These are the crucial aspects that disclosure, in fact, has been handed down as a program over time. And we need to get our heads wrapped around that entire idea. And that in some cases, it's caused some of these presidents their lives. And referring to President Kennedy, who was assassinated by the Central Intelligence Agency, working with the X-Protect group because he was giving away that secret, the top national security secret of the United States, as E. Howard Hunt told his good friend, Douglas Caddy, the Watergate lawyer. Well, these are the things, this is the nature of the field that of study and endeavor we should be after. And, you know, the hokey pop clip podcasts and the whistleblowers and this guy's book and that guy's agent and Steven Spielberg and all that stuff needs to be relegated to a totally different level on all this, because that's not how you get real potent reporting. We can get to the bottom of all of this, but we're going to need all of us to do it. And we're going to need to start off with the potent stories that have the core aspects to them. The Nixon time capsule is one of those mysteries. It's one of those stories that I think could really explode a number of things, as is the story of Uncle John Trump. And of course, we know that when President Trump has been in political turmoil at different times, he starts musing out loud about Uncle John Trump. I think that's a definite signal to the deep state saying, I know what you know, and I'm on the same level with you if you want to play that game. Well, it's pretty interesting because, you know, I think you could easily look at the Trump administration and say, yeah, this is very superficial disclosure. It's also quite possible that Trump, in his efforts to pull that UFO file back under executive control through the Space Force, through the Golden Dome, through these initiatives of disclosure, is now realizing that it's impossible, that you can't, even as president, pull that back under executive control. So, you know, this is why I think we're seeing this kind of half-hearted effort around disclosure. So we'll see how these things play out, but we're in the heart of a huge mystery here. A lot of that huge mystery goes back to July 1972 and the Nixon time capsule. We'll find out just how deep this story is, how deep that rabbit hole goes. But I can tell you the heft and the significance of it. And as we've heard some of these clips and things tonight, you can see that there's a deep story right in the heart of everything here around this, and that it could really turn history on its head. And we're really at a place in a position where we need something to work with against the deep state, against the X-Protect group. And it's that kind of deep disclosure, that type of potent disclosure, looking for the right facts and getting away from this, the kind of UFO celebrity circus and the CIA circus that's been created around it. You know, UAP czars and CIA officials claiming that they want disclosure because they they're so concerned about the American people. I don't think so. You know, the Central Intelligence Agency's background, the CIA, NGA, NRO combination has kept these secrets in place for how many years? And all of those groups are honeycombed with intelligence assets. And it's, in my opinion, they're not working in the best interests of the United States citizenry at all. They're working to protect the interests of the groups who that are benefiting from the reintroduction of the breakaway technology. So this is what we need to look for going forward. I know I'll be after this and after the heart of it, but I'll be doing it with all of you there in the ideas room. So thank you very much for joining me, and we'll see you soon.